servant be. Lead me, O Lord, lead me. Lead me, guide me along the way. For if you lead me, I cannot stray. Lord, let me walk each day with thee. Lead me, O Lord, lead me.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord God, tireless guardian of your people, you are always ready to hear our cries. Teach us to rely day and night on your care. Inspire us to seek your enduring justice for all this suffering world. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated. You're already here. I love that. You guys came right up while we were singing. How cool is that? I want to show you some stuff here. So today we're going to be talking about money a little bit, and I want to introduce you to my piggy bank.
I have.
You have one of these? Who has? Anyone else have one of these? You have one of these? Do you have one of these just like this one?
Yeah.
I have a bank.
So you can show me how to do it. When we're trying to figure out, by the way, no one taught me this until I was much older than you guys. That when you're trying to figure out, how do I take care of my money? What should I do? First of all the money comes from God. Exactly right. Everything in the world that we got, all of this, all these people, the love in our lives, and all the good things come from God. And the question is, how do we take care of it? And if I was to say, if I got all my money, and well, all my money is meant for me just to spend on things I just like, right? Nope. My money is also to be poured through me to other people. So here's the best way to do it. I love these Thrivent little piggy banks because it says share, save, spend. So in the front part, it's a share one. And the middle one's a save. And the last one's a spend. And you know what the Bible tells us is if we put 10% in the share, that's a tithe. And then it's a really good idea to save 10%. And then we can have the 80% that goes into the spend. That's good. That's really good financial planning for the adults in the room too, just so you know. So I got 10 dimes. This is the best way to do fractions. I got 10 dimes. So how many should I put in the share?
10,
that would be all of them.
One.
So that's one. You're right, one. That's 10%. Boom. How much should I put in the save?
One.
And how much in the spend?
Eight,
exactly. So put all of them, all the rest of the eight in the spend. So now with this one, if I wanted to get something that I thought was neat or to buy some groceries or those sort of things, I would do that at
all. Well, you can still buy a thing of gum because it's 35.
Hey, look, let's put more in it. That would help, right? So then I got 10 quarters. Let's clear. How many do I put in the share?
One,
okay. How much do I put in the save?
One.
And then how many in the spend?
Eight.
All the rest. You're right. Eight. Right? So we put all the rest in there. Now, who's good at math? How much do I have in my spend right now?
$2
and 80 cents. How much is in my save right now?
35
cents. And how much is in my share?
35.
Now, let's say that I got $100. How much would I put in this?
$10.
$10. And then $80. And now we've got a good amount of money to share and a good amount of money saving up and some money to spend. You see how that works? If you continue, if you're super faithful with just a few dimes or pennies, then it helps you to be faithful. What if we got $1 million? $1 million. What's that?
I think you about put like 20 in there, and then the rest.
If I got 20 in here, and then 20 in here, then that would mean I would put 180 in here, right? Because I got 200. That's the percentages, right? So this keeps us honest, and it makes sure that we both have extra in case something happens, It also makes sure that all God's people get shared. So we share with our church and with other things that are important in the world, and we help do our part with God's money. So, I have piggy banks for you. Right here. If you don't have a piggy bank yet, I have one just like this. And it's coming in bubble wrap, which is probably going to be more fun than listening to my sermon. So here you go. There's one for you. There's one for you. You got one, right? And then here's one for you.
I don't have one right now.
Well, you can have another one.
Right.
And if you could give it to a friend if you already have one.
All right, we're going to go down to the second level.
And there's some more.
More bubble wrap.
There you go. More bubble
wrap. Right.
And just so
wrap.
No, actually, I tell you what. I was kind of kidding about popping it during the service. Save it for later. Save it for later. That'd be a better idea. All right. Let's say a quick prayer together. God, thank you for giving us all the good things in life, including money. And when money comes into our life, help us to be good stewards of it and to share and to save and to spend in the right proportion.
Well,
thank you so much. Amen.
Amen. Who made it.
Something's happening. See ya. No. No.
A reading from Genesis. The same night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him in the hip socket. And Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God's face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, leaping because of his hip. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 121 responsively. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where is my help to come?
My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
The Lord will not let your foot be removed, nor will the one who watches over you fall asleep.
Behold, the keeper of Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand.
The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night.
The Lord will preserve you from all evil, and will keep you life.
The Lord will watch over your going out and your coming in, from this time forth forevermore. Glory to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, it is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from 2 Timothy. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. Word of God, word of life.
Thank you, God.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark in the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. And because it's football season, I'm calling an audible and changing the gospel reading. So you will not be able to follow along in your bulletin, and you're just going to have to listen to these words of Jesus. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own, and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. And Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated.
Grace, peace to you from the one who was and who is and who is to come. I'm going to find a sightline way to try and get all of you guys in over here too. I'm tempted to preach up there, but I feel like Gregory Peck and Moby Dick. You ever seen that? It's like, I love that. But I don't have that thing that he has, so I'm just going to come down here and be with all y'all. Thank you for the invitation to be with you today and to talk about this topic. We have an affinity between our congregations going way back up in Pacific Beach. You are technically closer to the ocean than we are, technically. As a surfer, I'm a little jealous about that. We also have one other church in our synod, though, that is even closer to the water than either of our congregations. That's Calvary by the Sea in Hawaii. If you leave their sanctuary, it's about 20 feet and you're in the water. And so you can literally paddle away from church. Heavy sigh. I also want to say what a joy it is to have connections with your previous pastors. I've been a friend a long time of Jim Shimoda, and Deborah Butler served with me as our first associate pastor when I was the first Dave 1.0 up at Christ Lutheran Church, and then also I knew Tim Sims, a wonderful pastor, and also had a great relationship and tons of respect for your most recent pastor, Karen Marone. And so I know you're going through a time of transition, but her ministry has left you in a good space. This is a strong congregation. It's a place that people will want to come be here. So you need not worry. All that work that you've done will be able to move forward. And as you heard in the call committee report, God already does know, right? God sometimes likes to be slow in revealing that name. But, you know, who are we to question the ways of the divine at the end of the day? So today we're here to talk about money, which I'm sure for some of you feels like I don't go to church to talk about money, or it's going to be about as much fun as root canal. But we're going to talk about it. Why are we going to talk about money? Two reasons. One is it is the number one topic of all the prophets and of Jesus. So if we're going to follow the Hebrew Scriptures and Jesus, we're probably going to have to talk about money because they talk about it a lot. We act as though they don't talk about it. We talk all around it. We spiritualize a lot of these teachings, but a lot of them are very much directed in economic. There is a power that wealth can have on us that is potentially spiritually dangerous. And the prophets loved us enough to warn us about it. The second reason is because we're uncomfortable. I, for a very brief period of time, decided I would get a personal trainer. And this guy's approach was, he took me around in the little gym and we would try different things. And he'd say, so let's try some squats. Okay, you can do those well. But he says, let's try some push-ups. And push-ups were my weak link. So he said, oh, we're going to do a ton of push-ups. All right? Personal trainers find your weakness, and that's where you do your work. Right? So if you don't want to do a lot of ab work, fake like your abs are great when you go see your personal trainer, or else you're going to do a lot of it. But they'll know. So that's the reason I think we need to talk about money too, is because it's uncomfortable. How do I know it's uncomfortable? Turn to your neighbor and tell them how much you made last year. Don't do it. Right? We don't like to talk about those things. Those are private. Those are, there's sort of a little bit of a guard that comes up. You get nervous as soon as we start talking about money. And so that's why I called the audible today to look at this story. I think it's so instructive for us when Jesus has this encounter with this rich young man. It's a unique encounter. It only happens in the Gospel of Mark. And that there's a fun little corresponding story at the very end that may tie it all up for us. But at the beginning, here comes this guy, and we know he's rich, we know he's young, and we know he's a man. Those are usually one, two, and three things that make you successful in the ancient world and in today. Right? Adjectives that usually mean you are privileged. And he knows it. He doesn't really know it in the sense that he's awake to it. He knows it in the sense that he's living into it. Because listen to his question. What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? He's used to inheriting things. He gets things given to him by just who he is. And so he wants to know, how can I inherit this? Now, he didn't say, I want to earn it. He didn't say, I want to be given it as a free grace gift. He says, I want to inherit it, meaning I kind of deserve it because I'm in the family. That is an idea of privilege. And as a poster boy for privilege, as a straight, white, educated male, I understand that sometimes I don't see what I don't see until some of my brothers and sisters who are not one of those things bring it up to my attention. Well, there he is, reflection of me, standing in front of Jesus. What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus does a clever thing here. I love, if you don't think Jesus is completely ahead of, like three steps ahead on the chessboard, this story should absolutely show you. He says, well, no one's good but God. Why do you call me good? He says, you know the law. And he starts to recite the Ten Commandments. shouldn't commit adultery, you shouldn't steal, you shouldn't murder, shouldn't bear false witness, you should not defraud, honor your father and mother. Did you hear what he did? Show me in the Ten Commandments where it says you shall not defraud. He added one. Right in the middle of the Ten Commandments, he just snuck in a commandment. You shall not defraud. Maybe Jesus knows something about how this guy got his wealth. Maybe he's in the interest, as we often say in our culture, it's just business. Right? But in just business, maybe I do something that isn't in your best interest. Maybe I do something intentionally that may, you know, it's in the fine print of the contract. You should have read it, but, you know, no one reads. How many of you, when you upgrade your operating system on your computer, read the whole thing? Or do you just go ahead and click agree and continue? If anybody reads the whole thing, I want to meet you. I've never met anybody who actually has read the whole thing. In there are all sorts of things that we give up, right? Just like we do all the time. But we see it as just good business. So maybe this is part of his story. He practices a business where he's been able to get wealthy at the expense of other people in an unfair way. And so he just sneaks that in there. And the guy's quick. You know, he's a Boy Scout. He's got his whole merit badge sash of all his accomplishments that he's wearing, and he wants to show. Honor your father, your mother, do not murder. It's like right here. That's that badge. I got them all. He says, teacher, I've done these since my youth. And then Jesus says, you see, he set him up. He laid a trap for this guy, and the guy stepped right in it. And then the trap springs. He says, you're right. You only have to do one more thing. Just one more thing. There's one thing that separates you from everything that you want in your soul. Sell everything you have, give the money to the poor, and come follow me. He knew that this guy was blind because of his allegiance to his wealth. And it says then that the man walked away grieving, not just sad, grieving because, and I love the double entendre of this, he had many possessions. Possessions. What happens when our possessions possess us? Who's in charge of this? I mean, honestly, do you possess your possessions or do they possess you? And the answer, if you're like me, is going to be a mixed bag, right? There are some ways in which I'm in charge of it, some ways in which the possessions are in charge of it. How many of you know who Marie Kondo is? All right. Marie Kondo has a nice, I did the whole Spark Joy thing, you know, it's The Secret Art of Tidying Up. It's a Japanese author, and she talks about how you go through all your stuff. And number one is we have too much stuff, right? Amen? Yeah. Right? I mean, amen, we just have too much stuff. And when you start going through your stuff, you try and figure out, you pick up each piece of clothing. You start with your clothing, and then you go to other more serious things. And you hold it close to your heart, and you say, does this spark joy for me? And it's not, do I need it? It's, does it spark joy? Because then it changes the dynamic, because the things that spark joy, you keep, and then your closet's only full of things that spark joy. And everything else, they say, has an energy that somebody else needs, and you need to let go of it. So you let go of it. Even if you bought something, now I'm sure that no one else has done this, maybe just me. Even if you bought something on sale, and you never wore it, still has the tag on in your closet, and it didn't spark joy when I held it. But then she says you can thank it for the joy it gave you for when you got the deal and give it away to somebody else who can let it live its purposeful life somewhere else. I like that because it's guilt-free, right? It's a liberating way to do that. So that's the one side of it. That's the Marie Kondo side of it. But the other is what we do here in church, which is a little more serious. We have an offering that we bring forward. Why do we do the offering in church? Right? Why? I mean, if it's really just about paying the bills, wouldn't it just be easier to set up an account and you just go ahead and pay online? I mean, paying online is a great idea, by the way. But we still will have the plates come through in church. And my answer is because I think it's a mini exorcism. Right? It's a chance for us to say to our possessions, you don't possess me. I renounce you. in the name and power of Jesus Christ. So it's, and this is one of these things, like, are you in control of your wealth? If you're just doing it all in your head, you are not. It can't be just ideas or opinions or principles. You actually have to write the check. You have to actually give it away. And if you can give it away and it sparks joy to do it, you tap into something that is really life-giving. Because it's a way of saying, my God is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I am a follower in this tradition where my God has the cattle on 1,000 hills. I do not worry about my daily sustenance because God gives manna and quail in the wilderness. God takes care of the prophets through the ravens. God takes care of all God's people in just a simple, straightforward provision. We say it in our prayer. Give us today our daily bread. Not give us today a warehouse full of extra bread. Just what we need. And God always, always, always provides it. Have you heard that money is the root of all evil? And people say it's in the Bible. That's not true. It says in the Bible, the love of money is the root of all evil. Evil, money is not evil. Money is just a medium of exchange. It's just a thing. It has no power in and of itself. The only power it has is the power we ascribe to it. And especially if we ascribe devotion to it. So when we put the power of a deity on it, like I will trust in my money will save me, now we have gotten into the danger zone that Jesus was warning this rich young man about. Give it all away, and then come and follow me, because you'll find the very thing you're looking for. So what I would encourage us to think about when we think about all of our giving is how do we blend the spark joy of Marie Kondo with the exorcism of our ancient traditions and come to a place where we actually practice on a daily basis this giving tradition. My own giving story, I grew up in a family where I go with my mom to church, we go like, every 4 to 6 weeks-ish, I don't know. We didn't go very often. Whenever we went, mom would always put $5 in the offering plate. All the time. And so, guess what I did when I started going on my own? I put $5 in the offering plate. All the way up until I got to seminary. I just thought that's what you did. It cost $5. Right? That's a good showing. $5. And then we had a speaker one time who was just really opened my eyes to the idea of proportional giving, like I was trying to teach the children earlier. Proportional giving keeps us honest. We say, that's why the scriptures talk about a tithe. A tithe is simple, it's 10%. Back in agrarian society, it meant that you left 10% of your field for the poor. It also meant that you would bring 10% of your income that you would have to the temple. It meant that you would just remember that everything came from God and 10% was a way of keeping the flow going. The easiest time to start your 10% is when you're making no money. Right? I mean, so when you don't make a lot of money, it's a little easier to do. There's a giving curve that it's in America. If you look at how people give according proportionally to how much they're making until they start making over a certain amount of money, and then their giving starts going down and their income keeps going up. What happens there? I think that's what we have to tap into about why is it that we proportionally give differently at that point. So, I don't know where you are. What I did was I started at 5% after I heard that person. I said, I'm going to start at 5%. And so I just, and I also thought, I don't know if I can afford this. I'm in seminary. I'm trying to figure out how to get through. But I tell you what, I never missed a single dollar ever in my life given away. Not once. And I don't say that like some snake oil salesman with like prayer hankies I'm going to sell to you for $1,000 kind of thing. I'm saying it like just my experience has been I've never given away money and then regretted it. Ever in my life. And then each year I added a percentage till I got to a tithe. And then there's a chance to go beyond the tithe. And some years I've pushed myself to do an even extra bit. And I don't say that to say, like, aren't I great because I'm not. I say it to say it's been liberating for me in my relationship to money. It's helped me become less attached, less possessed by my possessions. At the end of the Gospel of Mark, at the arrest of Jesus, where they're all jostling around, there is this enigmatic figure, and it's the only other time in his gospel, Mark's gospel, where there's the phrase rich young man, or young man is used. And it's when there's this guy who shows up, and while they're arresting everyone, someone grabs onto his cloak, and he runs away naked. And I like to think that it's this guy. I like to think that he got it done. He realized what he needed to do and how much possessions were in charge of him. And he finally did exactly what Jesus did. He gave all he had. Gave away to the poor. And then he followed Jesus. So I'm not a finished project. I don't think any of us are. I still need the weekly exorcism of the offering plate. I still get caught up in the lure of, quote, shiny junk. I just bought some stupid, like, supplement food thing that I heard on a podcast. And it showed up, and I was like, what did I do that for? So I'm not perfect with my money, I'm telling you right now. But I do know that I want to be whole, and that this practice helps me become whole. So I offer this to you as a fellow struggler and as a fellow follower of Jesus. If you've never been a percentage giver, please try it out. It's an honest way to live. If you've become stagnant in your giving, maybe you've been trucking along and it's become really easy, then there's a chance that you need to be challenged and to challenge yourself. And what I love about this program, this Consecration Sunday, is this is all between you and God. It's really, you're not giving to a budget. You're giving a response to God. And this is between you and God. Perhaps now is that time. And in terms of our overall giving, when churches were first created like this one, people usually had one, maybe two things that they gave money to. So now I know I've got five things that I give money to. So when you're calculating your tithe, include those things. God wants you to return a tithe, but just think about all the different things that you give to and give yourself some credit for it. And then maybe inch it up a little bit to all of those things, or however, whatever seems that God puts on your heart to do. And then as we do this, I want you to do it as prayerfully as you can. Let me say a prayer for us. Gracious God, you have richly provided us with all that we need to live. Everything that we have comes from your generous hand. Inspire us with your Holy Spirit as we consider our pledge to this community. Help us to trust in you and to respond in bold faith. Take any fear from our hearts or judgment from our minds, and let us joyfully return a portion of your abundance. We ask this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.